food that we have. He's devouring that. He's taking it from us. Devouring, I mean, he's just consuming it. He's taking it away. Our money doesn't seem to quite make it from the first of the month to the end of the month. Our money sometimes play out in the middle of the month. Now, you know that's the devourer. So check yourself. Make sure that you're doing the things that you said you're supposed to do. And Malachi said, my people are robbing me. And they asked God, they said, well, how are we robbing you? He said, through tithes and offerings. Pay your tithes. Pay your offerings. Do the things that God is calling you to do. And when you do that, God says he will give you a sevenfold blessing. You know, through faith, we can have our needs met. We can have the desires of our heart. God will rebuke that devourer for our sake. And we will receive that sevenfold blessings from God. Saints, I want you to understand, this is, we're not playing. We're being sincere, all sincere. I'm asking you to get your heart together, get your mind together, get your thinking together. Become sincere in what you're doing for the Lord. Stop just putting on a show for the people at church or the people in your neighborhood or even maybe the people in your home. You know, just be sincere in what you do and say about God, because that's what God is going to pay. He's not going to pay you for half-heartedly doing anything. Our lesson for last week says that he would that you be hot or cold. He said, because if you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. You know, we have to keep our thoughts in check. We have to keep the evil thoughts out and let the good thoughts come in. Remember, faith is one of the power weapons, the most powerful weapons that we have, and we have it to use to fight the devil.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
From the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, and verse 9. 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, verse 9. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee more, much more than this. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. My brothers and sisters, this word is helpful for those of us who have made decisions, and they were decisions without the guidance of God. And we have lost in those decisions. We made investments without consulting God, and we've lost in those investments. We've given ourselves, our substance, our time to endeavors and relationships that God had not co-signed on. And we leave there feeling empty and drained because we did not get back in return what we thought we would do. And yet, many of us have wasted time at the place where we were in the past experience rather than moving on from that point and looking forward to what God has in store. And for all of us who made some of these kind of decisions, one or another, we need to realize, my brothers and sisters, that whatever we've lost is not worth staying there for. God has better for you. Touch your neighbor and say, God has better for me. Touch your other neighbor and say, God has better for me. Now ask them the question as you look around. Say, does God have better for you? Ask another neighbor, does God have better for you? See, because you can't speak for nobody else. You can only speak for yourself. God has better for me. This is an intriguing story. It's a story, my brothers and sisters, that's fascinating. The young King Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned for 29 years. But the record is that when he became established as king, he then killed the servants or servant leaders who had assassinated his father, who was the king before him. He killed those persons, but he honored the word of Moses and the revelation God had given him. And he did not kill their children. For Moses had gotten a revelation that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So fathers would not be held accountable for the children, and the children would not be held accountable for the parents. The soul that sinneth should die. And so he honored the Lord. But the record is that he served the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And my brothers and sisters, there are some things about many of our services unto the Lord. We serve him, but not with a perfect heart. And see, the problem with that means that you serve him half-heartedly. And when you serve him half-heartedly, that means you're doing what he wants you to do one minute, and then you're doing what the enemy wants you to do the other minute, because you are not fully committed to him. And so he desires now to build his kingdom. He desires to have conquest. And so he's gauging a battle with the Edomites. And so what he does is he registers all the men 20 years old and up in his kingdom. And he puts generals over thousands and captains over hundreds. And when he got through registering all of the men over 20 who could handle a spear and a shield, they numbered 300,000. But because he was going against the Edomites, he decided 300,000 wasn't good enough. So he leased, if you will, 100,000 men from King Joash, king of Israel. Now, these were not just average warriors. These were mighty men of valor. And because they were mighty men of valor, they would be somewhat like our Navy SEALs are today. You know, it was the Navy SEALs that went in and got some of those folk who came against America. And yet all of these armies that did all of that fighting couldn't get them, but the Navy SEALs did. That's how these men who were called mighty men of valor were. One man who was a mighty man of valor, who was a warrior, was able to kill between 10 and 50 and some even 100 men per person. These were great men of warfare. They lived for war. They breathed war. They ate war. They thought of nothing but war. They were warriors from the heart. Nothing made them happier than to know they were about to get into war. And so he leased from Israel 100,000 men, 400,000 men, to go against the Edomites. And God sent a prophet and sent him there and told him, let the 100,000 men go back. Listen, because God is not with Israel. Let them go back because God does not have his hand upon them. And he said this, if you think that if you take them in battle with you, it'll assure you of a victory, God will show you that he's the God that bring men up and pull men down. And you will surely lose the battle. Are y'all listening to me here today? So the king, with his half-heartedness, let the 100,000 men go. And so he asks the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? Now let's pause right there, because I think he has some issues he's not dealing with. First of all, he got in this situation because one, in his planning, God was nowhere there. First thing I need you to know was God did not give him the plan. If you make notes, take these notes. God didn't give him the plan. Second thing I need to tell you about it is God did not guarantee the plan. It's all there in Scripture. Third thing I want to tell you is that God didn't get glory from the plan. And so as a result, God sent the man of God to tell the king who served the Lord with a half heart, he's got to change his plans. Because God will not receive glory in things that do not emanate from him. Now I want to throw this out parenthetically for you so you'll understand this as well. One of the reasons we make such costly mistakes in our lives is we go to setting our plans without consulting God. See, every one of my plans, every one of my goals, whether they're personally or professionally, ought to have their inspiration from God, if not their direct connection from God. In other words, everything about me ought to be wrapped up in him. And what I'm doing is according to his purpose for my life. And so if I realize this, I will never try to set goals without consulting with God. If I consult with God and God says, this goal is inspired of me from my word, from what I have set you up to do, then I will guarantee the victory. Isn't it good to know that you can go in battle and you're coming out victorious? I say, isn't it good to know that you can go in battle and know you're coming out victoriously? Nothing is more comforting in knowing, just like David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no. Why, David? For thou art with me. That says it right there. The rod and the staff, they come, but thou. God guarantees it when he inspires it. And here's the last thing. We already know this principle. If God don't get the glory, we don't get the what? Hallelujah. We don't get the good, and neither did this young king Amaziah. So he says, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? Now, again, I hope you're taking notes, because I'm not just preaching to be preaching. I'm preaching to make a difference. I'm trying to help you make some decisions that will be victorious in this upcoming year, trying to help you to understand how you must formulate them and understand some things about your losses. Listen, the man of God was there, and the rest of the scripture in the 28 verses in this chapter will bear out what I'm sharing with you, but I've got them here so that it's easy to take notes and package it so that you can take it out of this place and put it in practice and profit from it. Preach, Pastor. First thing is, he asked the man of God, but what shall we do? And here is the first thing that will probably blow your mind. Here is, in effect, what the man of God said. Let it go. Let it go. Do you know how difficult it is to let go something that's connected to your heartstring? See, when money becomes your God, when you put money above our God and above his word and above those things of God, it becomes your God. How are you going to tell him to let go 4.5 tons of silver? Listen, 100 talents, let it go. Do you know the worth of the 100 talents? Listen at this. Some of you have made some decisions and had some losses, and you're still hung up at the place of your loss. And your problem is you're not going to get where God wants you to go or have what God wants you to have because you've not learned how to let it go. It's already gone. You already made that decision without consulting God. That's the payment for making a decision like that without God. It's now beyond you. You have no recourse to that. Let it go. Now, I'm trying to help us understand, though we're talking about this king, we're also pragmatically talking about us in our decisions today. Because as long as you stay where what you lost is, you'll never get to where you need to find what God has for you. Second thing is, he was telling him, because he asked the question, but what shall we do? Well, the first thing is, let go. The second thing is, leave it alone. Leave it alone. You see, even if folk let go some stuff, they have a problem leaving it alone. They go back and they pick. They go back and they look and see if it's anything else they can do. They don't leave it alone. They keep thinking. They keep wasting their time, wasting their tears, trying to figure out how can I turn this situation in my favor. They waste more times on the past than they ever do on the present or in the future. And so the problem is they won't leave it alone. So as a result of that, God can't fellowship with them. God can't show them new things because they won't leave alone what they should have let go. Listen, if something is gone, let it go. Leave it alone. If you stumble across a photograph, tear it up. If you find some old letters, shred them up. If you got some stuff there that reminds you every time, nigga, give it away, throw it away, give it back, leave it alone. You don't want no remembrance of it. If it's going to keep you in the past, you can't go on with life because you're still comparing everything to the stuff that done messed you up. Can I just tell you why some folk can't make relationships work? Now, they done had a bad situation, and even with that, they haven't learned from it. They're still judging everything else by the bad situation they have. So a good man can't make nothing good because you're still hanging on in your mind to a bad man, and you're judging every man by another man's mistake. Or woman, it don't matter, whomever it is. Old folk used to say every tub has to sit on its own bottom. There's a thin line between, see, I wasn't going to say love and hate, but I got all of y'all saying that. It's a thin line between faithlessness and foolishness. Don't try and preach my sermon. And the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, we make some faithless decisions that cause us to lose out on things. And if they aren't faithless, then many times they're foolish. And if we are making foolish decisions, we will lose things that are valuable to us. And the third thing that the man of God was suggesting to the king was to move on. Well, this is a word for somebody. I know you can't say amen right now because you're hurting too much, but this is your word. This is your word. Move on. Touch somebody and say, do you need to move on? If they don't look at you, if they start biting that bottom lip, just leave them alone. Now, let me help you understand. I don't care what your loss has been. Move on. Whatever has gone past you does not count itself worthy of you. Did you hear what I just said? If it's not here now, and it left and went away, then let it go, leave it alone, move on. It's not worthy of you. Yeah, your heart may be hurting. Yeah, tears may fall. But all of that's in the healing process. Let that happen and move on, because God will wipe away the tears from your eye. But listen, he'll send somebody else to help him. Y'all catch that on your way home. Don't look so sad. He'll send somebody to do the right thing. Whatever area and arena that is, you put it wherever it fits. Listen at this. The past is what King Amaziah, his past worth affected his present worth. And his present worth affected his potential worth. Now here's something else, folks, to understand. That your worth is personally connected to your wealth. Somebody didn't get that. Let me help you understand something now. If your past worth has affected your past wealth, and here you are in the present, then you've got one or two things to do. Learn from your past and move on, or continue to bring your past in your present and suffer the same feat. You see, your present, right here, right now, worth is going to determine your personal wealth. Listen. And your potential worth. When you start realizing who you are and whose you are, when you start coming into that place where God has ordained you to be, and you start walking in authority and speaking in authority and living in authority and calling those things not that to be that weren't as if they were, and start doing what God has called you to do, you're going to recognize the power that's in you and see your potential worth, and you're going to stop settling for stuff that the enemy throws before you. You're going to start realizing this is not good enough for me. I'm not going to accept no anything. I've got some standards. I know my worth. I know what my worth is. And when you know your worth, you begin to experience your wealth on that level. People will try to Jew you down, bring you down, negotiate with you down to whatever you will accept until they know you know what you're worth. I don't care what it is that you're dealing with, every area of life. Listen, if you'll accept a hamburger instead of a filet mignon steak, that brother gonna make sure you go to Burger King, McDonald's, somewhere else. But if you tell him, I don't do Burger King. I like T-bone, I like ribeyes. Now, if you can't handle that, then maybe you ought not ask me to dinner. Because I can buy my own hamburger and my own steak. You got to know what your worth. You go and negotiate a job, etc. You bring this to the table. You got to know what your worth is. Yeah, I could accept that, but why? You know, the question becomes, who needs who most? And so when you realize you've got something worthy and worthwhile, your wealth is connected with that. So don't you squander it. Don't you let it go for nothing. That's how God brings to you wealth and gives you power to get wealth by the worth that he's placed in you. That self-worth is so empowered to see, so important to see. It's so empowering to see, but you've got to see it for yourself. Listen at this. He knew that Amaziah needed to move on from this place or it would destroy him. As a matter of fact, he says to Amaziah, "The Lord is able."
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program.